Sei denn nur Tishakapal. Can't think of anything. So maybe Ken is giving a talk today. You're prepared?
I'll just ask a couple of stupid questions.
Yeah. Well, that is your speciality.
It worked. We did good all the time. How to stick to the Buddha. How to stick to the Buddha.
Find your interest in the Buddha. That's it. I mean, and the determination and effort, you know, when the mind goes off, you have to immediately go back. Not to think about what you thought, but just go back. Back. Yeah, just pull it back. And then listen to the Buddha. I mean, it can be rather enchanting, you know, just listening to the Buddha. I mean, imagine yourself being in a huge cathedral, you know, and just listening to the sound of the Buddha. I mean, you don't need to worry about anything else anymore. Everything else disappears. It's the interest in our meditation object that brings us to one-pointedness. Nothing else. I mean, if we have a hobby, if you have a job, you know, that really interests us. I mean, we forget everything around us. I mean, you just have to put the interest into the Buddha, and then everything else is gone. I mean, time just, you know, just passes by. You don't even hear sounds around you. No? It's just like, you know, some person who is completely up in his hobby, you know, and he doesn't even notice, you know, when people walk into his room. Because he's just concentrated on this one thing, and he wants to find it. He wants to fix it, or he wants to find out something. And he forgets everything around him. I mean, that is the amazing power of the chitta. Once it concentrates, you know, it forgets everything that is around it. But to get this interest, you know, that is the difficulty. That's rather difficult. If we have never had any interest, never had anything that interested in us in our life, you know, then it's really difficult to find interest in the Buddha. I mean, think about the qualities of the Buddha. It's the Lord Buddha that gave us the teaching. It's the Lord Buddha that showed us the way out of dukkha. I mean, have some faith in it. Have some faith in the Buddha. Or you can also use listening to the talks. I mean, everything else disappears. If you're really interested in listening to the talk, and then plugging your earphones, you know, and listen to a talk, and listen, you know, here with your heart. I mean, you want to see every word arise out of your heart before it even touches your ear. I mean, you actually know what I'm going to say next, even if you never have listened to the talk. Because what we hear here is the language. It's only one language. One language is all beings in all the realms use. It's a universal language. And we have forgotten to speak it. You can call it the forgotten language. And there it is. It's the language of the heart is the language of intention. And our words, you know, we utter in Italian or in German or in English. But the words have nothing to do, or sometimes nothing to do with the intention we have. We say things that we don't want to say. We ask stupid questions. But actually we want to tell the other person something else, completely something else. And that's why there is so much miscommunication in this world. Because we don't relate to the language of the heart anymore. We have completely forgotten. We are completely up in the world of symbols. We chuckle around the symbols. We create new symbols. We divide them up. We give meaning to the symbols. And then we are caught up in this world of symbols. And when we do the practice, when we start the practice, we go beyond the world of symbols. That means beyond the world of thought. And reconnect with what is there. And that is beautiful. Because there, when we connect with what is there, there is no fear, there is no worries, there is no unhappiness, there is just peacefulness, or happiness, or even pity, joy. That's all what there is. When we reconnect to our heart, when we reconnect to the citta. But we have to go beyond our thoughts. If we can't go beyond our thoughts, we will never be able to experience it. And so the means of the word Buddha are the means of anapanasati, the concentration of breathing in and breathing out at the tip of the nose. I mean, it's going to lead us there. And the more we do it, the faster it will lead us. It's not a question of time. How long does it take us to get there? It's a matter of determination not to let the mind wander. That's all. I mean, we can do it today. We can do it within 5 minutes. If our interest and determination is there. All what it needs is 100% interest. If we are 100% interest in just what is going on, just in the breath or just in the Buddha, we're gone. Doesn't take long. Oops, gone. 1, 2, 3, gone. But we are interested in our thoughts, in our experience of the past. Or we are interested in the future, what is going to happen in the future. That's why we never get there in the present moment. That's the only thing. There's no magic behind it, there's no... It's just our own effort that leads us there. Just do the Buddha and don't worry about any results. And that is the problem of Western people, you know, they always look for results. If the results don't come within 4 hours, you know, they've given up. If the results don't come within 2 or 3 weeks, I mean, they give it up. They say, I can't do it. I mean, if you have given up, if you would, as a child, would have given up to learn to walk after 3 weeks, you know, you wouldn't be able to move around. How often did you hit your head? I mean, you wanted to walk, and that's why you learned it, no matter how much blood was running from your head. How often did you fall upon? You didn't care, because you wanted to learn to walk. And the same thing is you wanted to learn to talk, isn't it? I mean, that's why we're able to talk. How long did it take us? We didn't give up, you know, because after 2 weeks, you know, we couldn't speak. Did we? But you give up. Why? You don't want to learn it? You don't want to learn it? Okay, give it up. If you want to learn it, don't give up. No matter how long it takes, no? One child it takes, you know, to learn to walk, you know, 1.5 years, another 3 years. So. I mean, if we have doubt, you know, When we are children, if we have doubt that we ever can walk, you know, we will never learn to walk. If we have doubt to talk, you know, we will never be able to talk. If we have doubt that we can think, we will never be able to think. I mean, we also learn to think. I mean, that took much more time, you know, than to learn to walk and to learn to talk. The proper way of thought, you know, reason. I mean, that is what we learn, you know, for 10 or 14 years in school. Did we give up? No. We wanted. So, if you don't give up, you can learn it. I mean, there's nothing that in this whole universe that we cannot learn. The moment we put our proper attention and proper tools to it, we can learn it. That doesn't mean that we have to become masters in it, but we can learn it to do it. But the problem is that we expect results. I mean, the results must come very fast, otherwise we give up. We look for something else. That's why so many people go to drugs, because they get fast results. Isn't it? I mean, just take it and then 1 hour later, you know, you're gone. Meditation is a skill. It's a profession. It's a profession that we have to learn. Just like any other kind of work. I mean, to be able to concentrate. I mean, the byproducts are many. When we go back to the world, you know, being able to concentrate means, you know, we get our work much faster done than everybody else in this world. But if you can't concentrate, you know, then it's... I mean, you know for yourself. When you studied, you know, you had to read some textbook that didn't interest you. Your thoughts were going out, you know, what you're doing in this evening or what you're doing on the weekend. And how often you read the textbooks, you know, you wouldn't understand it. Because your concentration was not on the test, because your concentration was on what you're going to do, on the future. But if you put your concentration on the textbook, you read it once and you understand it. More or less so. So you put your concentration on the Buddha and then it leads you there. It leads you to a state of happiness, or calmness, or peacefulness, whatever. Whatever you experience, it's either one of these. And then it leads you, when you go on, it leads you to a state of completely stillness. It's called Apana Samadhi, the deep state of Samadhi, where everything else disappears. It leads you to the first wonder of meditation. All what we need to do is put our concentration on one object. I mean, the task is simple. I mean, it's so simple, you know, you can't even make it more simple. Put your concentration on the tip of the nose and, you know, observe the breath coming in, breath coming out. Or mentally repeat the word Buddha and observe the Buddha. That leads us to the observer. And the observer is there in the citta. And the more we concentrate, the more we are in the citta. And the first thing that happens is that the thoughts will fall away. And then we are in the state of upacara samadhi. And all what is happening there is just experience. It's not thinking, it's not imagination, it's just experiencing things of a different realm. Things that we cannot experience while our engine is running. While our engine of thought and memory is run, we cannot experience. I mean, you cannot experience the nature if you sit in your car where the engine is running. I mean, you just don't hear anything. All what you smell is your, the exhaust of your car. I mean, turn off the engine and you will smell the nature and you will hear the nature. And that is what I call experience. But as long as we have our thoughts and memories on, I mean, we can't experience it. Not even its pure form. That's all what it takes. Some of you who lived long enough here, have you observed the chickens? Have you seen the similarities between the chickens and humans? It's amazing, the similarities. Life is just to show up. Here I am. Look at me, you know?
Fight.
Huh? Fight. Yes. I mean, humans fight. Trying to take the woman away from each other. Or fighting for food. Or fighting for territory. That is my territory. You can't come here. I mean, you just observe it and you see yourself. And in all our difficulties, you know, are just there, the same thing as in the animal world. The only exception, you know, animals normally don't torture other animals. But humans torture other humans. I mean, they kill, you know. But they don't torture them. Slowly, eh? Interesting. We have all these advanced civilization features of torturing other people. But of course we also have the quality of metta, of loving kindness. Caring for each other. I mean, living in the forest teaches you a lot. Just observing the animals. Just observing yourself, I mean, teaches you a lot. That's why this place is also called the Forest University. I mean, you learn from the forest. When you're alone, you're confronted with your own problems. And there's no scapegoat for your anger. It comes up. Is there any more questions?
You once told me to use the pericarma of don't know. I found it enormously useful. I was wondering why you didn't teach it a lot more people.
Some techniques are for some people, not for all. I mean, if you are stuck up constantly in assuming and having our assumptions about what is this and what is that, I mean, don't know is the best way. But if you don't have a problem with this, if you can, you know, just sweep it out, you know, then it's, you know, it's not working. I mean, the moment, you know, we close our eyes and 5 minutes later, you know, something is happening, so we assume this and this is happening, you know, then of course, you know, don't know is the best way. Because we don't start to believe the kilesas telling us this is and this is this and this is that. But also, you know, that it's actually a method from Ajahn Chah, isn't it?
I've heard Thich Nhat Hanh recommend it, and he's a South Vietnamese Zen teacher.
Yeah, he's half Zen and half Theravada. Vietnam has a very strange kind of mixture of Buddhism. But Ajahn Chah, I read it in Ajahn Chah's book. That's interesting. If you say, I mean, it's the same thing, you know. If you say, I don't know, when an assumption comes up, you know, for instance, I read stream entry, you know, and then you say, I don't know. I mean, then it falls away. But you can also start questioning, right? I mean, questioning, is this true? Or what's the meaning of this? Or what's the meaning of that? And then you get actually into investigation. And if you don't allow any answer to be a true answer, then you go into a completely blank state of mind. That's completely empty. And that is also an amazement. But the moment you latch on to one answer, I mean, you're fooled. You cannot allow any answer that pops up. And the answers pops up very quickly. You cannot allow any answer, you know, to be the true answer. You have to find, you know, you have to find some way to question it. Either to question its meaning or what, you know, or to question itself. Because the answers are coming from the kilesas. And we want to outwit, with this method, we want to outwit the kilesas, not allowing any answer. And that will lead us, you know, and sooner or later, the kilesas will give up and leave us in a blank state of mind. What is nearly comparable, or what can be compared to the Apanasamadhi. It's also an amazement. It's also sort of wondrous. But that has been achieved through investigation. The other state of mind, Apanasamadhi, has been achieved through one-pointedness. In one case, we we didn't allow the kilesas to enter our mind through the repetition of Buddha or through the concentration on the breath. In the other way, we outwitted the kilesas. And to outwit the kilesas has a plus effect on the state of mind, because they retreat for a while, completely retreat. I mean, there are so many things that we can experience within ourselves. Even if we are just in upachara samadhi, you know, just experience, but don't proliferate. Don't assume this is this and this is that. I mean, there is thought coming in and, you know, explaining things. I mean, we don't need to explain things. I mean, when we are, you know, there are two Italians, when we are at a football game, we don't need a reporter to tell us what is happening on the field. I mean, we see it with our own eyes, don't we? We don't need anybody, you know, to tell us what is happening right now. But we believe this voice, you know, much more than our own eyesight. We believe this broadcasting of the kilesas. They tell us what is happening, what is happening, what is happening, what is happening in their eyes. I mean, shut them up, you know, turn off the radio. And be completely quiet. And it's a very refreshing stillness. And it's an energizing stillness. That happens. But we believe, yeah? We believe because we are so used to it. Of course, you know, we are 50 years old or 60 years old or 30 years old, and from the day we were born, we know this voice that is within our head, constantly telling us this is like this and this is like that. This is what we want and this is what we don't want. We never ever questioned it. And one way to question is the way that I told you. Not sure. Don't know. If they tell us I like this, then I question and say, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I like this. And they start shaking a little bit. And the more often you say it, the more they shake. I mean, if somebody suggests us, if our voice suggests us to go and drink a wine or beer, well, we tell it, I'm not sure, I don't know. I'm not sure if I want to drink some beer. No, I'm not sure if I want to see a woman or a man. I'm not sure if I want to go to a concert or not. Or I'm not sure if I want to read the book. I'm really not sure. Just because somebody, you know, something in our head is suggesting something, we follow it. Because nobody ever told us, we don't have to follow it. And that's exactly this voice, you know, we believe that is us. That's me, that's mine. But it's not the real thing. Just like in the example or the simile of the football game. The real thing is that game that is going on in front of our eyes, isn't it? But the commenter thinks, you know, it's his thing. What he sees is his thing, but it's not our thing. And we don't even need it, because we see with our own eyes. And that's how we constantly are fooled. We believe him more than our own eyes. We believe him more than our own ears. We believe him more than our own feelings. Because he tells us, you know, I don't like this. Huh? Why? I'm not sure. Maybe I like this. And if we do that, you know, it will lead us, you know, to a very satisfactory life. Things are still going on. It doesn't, you know, we have the feeling the moment this broadcaster stops, or this broadcasting stops, like just like people, you know, are afraid when their TV is not running or the radio is not running. It's so, I mean, they are afraid of the stillness. They think, you know, their life stops if they turn off the radio or if they turn off the TV. That is constantly running in the house. I mean, when they go out, you know, they leave the radio running. Because when they come back, you know, they hear something. Ah, that's nice, you know. I'm not alone. And they don't remember the times where there was no TV and there was no radio. How can we remember that time? Because it has been such a long time ago. We have born with this radio and TV, and we are going to die with this radio and TV. If we are not putting any effort to get rid of it. Sometimes I really ask myself if I still understand what's going on within you. I mean, it has been such a long time for me. Nearly 19 years that I left home. Or it has been more than 19 years that I've been there. I mean, I can remember, but there are memories, you know. Memories 20 years ago. What has been going on in my life? I remember it was not easy. It was very difficult. The first 2 years were extremely difficult. Just getting the mind quiet. But I didn't give up. You understand that? I never gave up. I wanted to learn it. And I knew I could do it. I knew I could do it. If I just put my mind on it, I can do it. And every one of you who sits here can do it. If you just put your mind on it, you can do it. But you can't give up until you achieve that what you want to achieve. You can't give up. And we sway, you know, when the wind comes from the east, we sway to the west. When the wind comes from the west, you know, we sway to the east. We give way. But in practice, we can't give way. We should go on. We should go forward. We can't give way to doubt. We can't give way to unpleasant experiences. I mean, along our journey there's a piece of desert. I mean, we just have to walk. We just have to cross the desert. No matter how dry it is, no matter how hot it is, you know, we just have to cross it. And then after the desert, something else comes. I mean, but if we don't cross the desert, we never get to that unknowing land. I mean, just go and trust, you know, trust the Lord Buddha, you know, that he laid out the path, you know, completely. And the path is still valid. The path that leads to Nibbana is still valid. It is not 2,500 years ago, it's right now that we can attain. But we have to follow the path. We have to follow the path of Sila, Samadhi and Panna. The precepts of morality, of virtue. Then Samadhi, the ability to concentrate and to rest our mind, just like we go and sleep to rest the body. Learn how to rest the mind. And then to cleanse the mind with Panna, with wisdom. I mean, we wash our body daily. Don't we? We put our body daily to sleep. But we never cleanse the mind. We never put our mind to rest. I mean, how stinky must this be? I mean, it smells like rotten. I mean, you can't even imagine how it smells. Because it has never been cleansed. And how tired it must be because it has never been put to rest. And without putting it to rest, we can't get to work, to clean. I mean, cleaning... Cleaning our house, we need to have, you know, some sort of energy in our body. And cleaning the mind, we have to have some energy. Same thing. The mind has to have some energy to take all the defilements off. Or to take off all, you know, to curb out all the kilesas, to go through difficulties. So we need to rest the mind. And then once the mind is rested, we put it to work. And we investigate. We investigate the five khandhas, the five groups that make us. Whatever we think is us, whatever we think is mine, whatever we think belongs to us, that is within the five khandhas, hidden within the five khandhas. The five khandhas are nothing else than the body. Feeling. Memory and association, thought and consciousness. There's nothing outside that we can think of us, of ourselves or mine or us, outside of these five khandhas. Whatever we think we are, whatever think we have been, whatever we think we are going to be, is within the realms of the five khandhas. Most of all, it is in the realm of just thought and memory. Plus body and feeling. Consciousness is difficult to track because it's so fast. It's extremely fast. It is just like we want to track, you know, the movie. We want to track, you know, our eyes are not so fast, you know, to detect the still images within a movie because it runs as a high speed. 25 frames per second, or in the States, you know, it's 30 frames per second. So we can't see, you know, that they're actually still images. And that is the same thing with our consciousness. We can't see that they are still images. We can't still see, you know, there is just one point of consciousness, and then the next point of consciousness, and the next point of consciousness. Just like bubbles. Bursting up pretty fast, so we think there is something, you know, going on. So we think there is time going on. We think there is something, you know, there is something on a line. But actually it's not. It's just one image after the other. It's just one point of consciousness after the next point of consciousness. That's all that is happening. And it's difficult, you know. I don't say you will catch it very soon. I mean, you have to be extremely aware. You have to be extremely mindful. You have to have extreme sati, you know, to catch that. And you can't have anything else, you know, in your citta that comes up in that time. I mean, the citta has got to be complete quiet. before you can see it. And when there is no consciousness, where is this universe? It's gone. There's no universe. Because only consciousness tells us there is a universe. Because only consciousness tells us that something has come into our sense fields. And with our sense fields not triggered, you know, we don't even know what is going on. Isn't that amazing? Somebody turns off our sense fields and we don't know where we are. And they come back into contact and then, here we are again. And gone we are again. Here we are again. Gone we are. Here we are. Gone we are. But it's so fast that we always constantly think that we are here. Are you getting restless? I mean, it was amazing. After the talk on Sunday, there was just restlessness. I mean, I went to this cottage, I went to that cottage, a lot of talking going on. What did I talk about last Sunday? Huh? I mean, what made you so extremely restless? It was so amazing, you know, I've never seen that before. I must have said something, you know, that really hit the point. Mm-hmm. Just like these chickens for hours. I mean, what did I say? Where did I hit it? Did you notice it, Ken? Also you, including you. Yeah? I mean, I understand what is happening. If I don't understand, who understands? I mean, you're confronted with something that you don't want to hear about. I mean, the thing is we don't want, I mean, we cherish our illusion about what we call life so much that if somebody like me, you know, starts questioning, I mean, we get restless. We can get extremely restless. Because we don't want to question. I mean, life is life, you know. We have lived so long. We cannot question life in itself. You notice it gets restless?
No,
yes, the flies are coming into the eyes. That's why I scratch my legs. The flies are coming into his eyes. That's why he scratches his legs. Because his eyes are in the legs.
No, my leg is going to sleep. But then a fly is trying to light on my eye. So I'm not so...
You're not so mindful. Of course, the master of deception, Avijja, doesn't want to be disguised. That's why we cherish and keep it alive. I mean, nobody wants to be told, you know, that life is just a virtual reality game. which has stuck into it. When that game is finished, you know, we just put another. Now it's a CD or DVD into the computer and play the next game. And that is the next life. One game, one life. And it's really real. It seems really to be very real, doesn't it? That's why I call it virtual reality game. We call life. And we play and we're sucked up. We're sucked into this game. We can't stop. I mean, you see friends and colleagues around you, you know, who are sucked up in these games, in these computer games. Every one of you, us probably knows one person who can't just stop playing. In the beginning he was playing with himself, and then, you know, later on he's playing, you know, these, I don't know what it's called, net games or something. Competing against each other. And if we can't win this game, we play it again and again until we can win it. And then we go on to the next. On to the next. On to the next. Until somebody like the Lord Buddha comes and tips us on our shoulders and says, hey, you know, you're stuck in this game. You want to come out? You want to know what real life is about? But of course we don't want to hear that. Because we love this game. We love life. We cling to life with all our heart. Isn't it? And the older we get, the more we cling. Because we see it's going to the end. Yeah, you have to excuse me. In the last few weeks, you know, I'm getting a little bit weird. And I don't know yet how to phrase it. I see some changes going on within myself. Better let you know. What? One.
One is investigation, one is encounter.
Hmm?
One is the investigation that I need to seek whether I did correctly, another is an encounter. Perhaps I thought. Have investigated, this is the first time I sat through 1 hour of unpleasant Vedana. First time observing it, so I do not know whether I I did the observation correct, so please correct me if I sat and stay separate as a separate entity, not getting involved, stepping backward, not owning it, so just watching it. So when I watch, there is a lot of movement in a lot of patterns, wave, bubble, gas churning up through tunnels or whatever. And the movement is very rapid, but I just watch. Then, after some time, the movement slowed down. But unfortunately, I did not catch that part where it slows down here. It more quiet down. Okay? But these circles gone through, I think, 3 times, if I'm not wrong, because this is my first attempt. I was like watching, you know, trying not to make a conclusion, just sit back and watch. So I do not know this rapidness of movement, then so eventually...
What do you mean this movement? Is it physical movement or mind movement?
No, not mind movement. Within insight. It's not the organ movement. I don't know how to say there is movement.
But it's moving inside the body, outside is
inside, still... Inside. No, outside is okay. Outside is all right, intact. I was sitting, you know, my usual sitting, but 1 hour. So because I took down the time... 1 hour and there's a lot of movement. I didn't locate. I didn't locate where it the movement because first attempt. So I just watched the movement. There is some wave-like pattern, wave very fast. There are some like bubble, and there are some like gas. You know, gas churning out from tunnel. To me, it's like a tunnel tube or whatever. Then a lot of like there's small little streams or what I call a little pipeline. There, certain thing gushing out, you know, all at one go. So I'm just watching it now. So all these movements are very rapid, very rapid. So I like, okay, just watch. I didn't make comment, but occasionally Sankara Samya come in, but I cut it, just say, off, so it quiet down. I just watch it. And then, as this is my first attempt, then it just quiet down. So I didn't know. At that point when I was watching, I didn't know. It's only after I get out of the seat, I review and say, what is this thing that's so movement? And then quiet down. I start questioning.
Don't worry. Don't even ask what is
Yeah,
this
yeah. Thing. So I didn't know when I was watching. I didn't know. I just like watching a movie. Like, you know, just watch, you know. So if I'm not wrong, this cycle goes through 3 rounds, if I'm not wrong, because I just said that. I didn't even count because I just said, I didn't watch the pattern of movement. I just know there are movement, rapid, dense.
Don't make any assumptions. Watch it, and watch it again, and watch it 10 times, watch it 100 times. I mean, the understanding will come by itself.
So, and after that, I get out.
You listen to?
Yes. Don't make comment, right? I didn't make comment. So, at that time, observation, I was just observing, so there's no conclusion. I just carry on, then I quickly write down in case I forget, you see, because I want to make sure my observation, the method, is it correct or not. So, while doing certain things, something arises, perhaps this rapidness and slowing down is the rise and ceasing. I'm not too sure.
No. That was wrong. I mean, even after, you know, you went through this experience, don't make any comments, don't make any conclusions.
Yeah, that's right. So I put a point there, I just said, just note that something pops up. And then, while doing my usual routine, it struck me, you know, the last time I ran retreat, I got a problem at Bhutto. So on Sunday, I have a talk with you, I taught Isani and Sankara. Somehow then I realized, oh no, I'm running away from unpleasant vijana. Now that I realize. And because of that, I didn't even know I'm running away. I was tricked that I tried to escape. I didn't know I was escaping the unpleasant sankara by dwelling into Sanya and Sankara. I myself dwell on it, not Kalisa. I did not do it because I caught myself while doing certain things. This eight. Okay, so this is my problem area. So, and then I was having a lot of problem breathing because I was struggling with these unpleasant feelings. Because I tried to accept, but I don't know how. So when that day I sat for 1 hour, last night slept for 1 hour, I remember the talk you gave. You say that imagine yourself as a cinema viewer. Just watch. You're apart because I'm not part of the role there. So when I sat, the unpleasant Vedana not so bad, Achan. After I sat in that method, you say, putting myself in the, or moving myself back to Chitta faculty of knowing, and staying apart from all the khandhas, let the khandhas move what they want to do. The unpleasant Vedana is not so unbearable. So from today onwards, even though this unpleasant Vedana, when the inclination of going back, you know, running away and grasping on Sanya Sankara, I'm more or less aware already. So breathing now is not so much of a problem because I know the problem area was tricked by them. Idiot was tricked by them for a few months, you know.
Okay.
What a joke.
Yeah, that's so, okay.
So this observation I did as the first attempt, is there any way I did not do correctly? Or is there another approach?
That's okay. I mean, just stay away and don't make any conclusions. And then, of course, you know, the moment you don't make any conclusions, and if you're not averted against the feeling, I mean, it's bearable.
Yeah, because now I feel like I can breathe much better, much at ease, you know, and my buddha's clearer by itself, because.
Okay, and just go on, just go on. I mean, that is perfectly fine.
If I'm not wrong, now I got your message. When you invest.
I mean, the two things that you did, you know, just to clarify this. First, that is not me, you know, watch it like a movie.
I stay back.
Yes, you stay back.
I don't
you watch it like a movie. And then don't give in, don't make any conclusion. That's the same second thing. And you can steer through everything of that.
It's very strange when you step backward, when the Sanya Sankara comes out, you just knock it off very fast, you know.
Yes, you can knock it off immediately.
Whereas if, I guess all this is so subtle that you sometimes.
But that, you know, don't forget the battle, you know, to knock, you know, to get in the seat, you know, is difficult. To detach yourself from the things that are going on, that is a difficult thing, and that was the battle that you made. But once the battle is made, then you can observe it. Don't let yourself get caught up back on the stage.
Okay.
So that's fine, you know, just fine, just go on. And you have to do that very often. You know.
So if I'm not wrong...
Don't worry about if you understand what is going on or not. I mean, you will see it.
The last talk you talked about going through with Vedanta, because I was like, okay, feel it, not feel the unpleasant, but because I was sitting backward, the pleasantness is bearable, surprisingly bearable. So, okay. So when I got out, I said, okay, this is bearable. Then... the message is trying to say, go
okay, through. Okay, now, make it short. You know, what is the question?
That means we get used to the unpleasant Vedana here.
No, it's not that we get used to. We observe it for the first time. We do not reject it. I mean, the rejection is that the amplifier.
But the rejection will magnify it, will make it even stronger and make it unbearable, right?
That's why I call it amplifier. It amplifies the feeling. Rejecting something or wanting something amplifies the feeling. And if you just have no objection against it, you know, it just there is a feeling. And you can call it a pleasant feeling or unpleasant feeling or a neutral feeling, whatever. That's it.
So I use this method this morning when I sit, because I realize that I did not get really in touch with my Vedana. That is one of the greatest mistakes.
Of course, people, you know, it takes time. I mean, just think about, you know, you've been here, coming here for 3 years, you know, and slowly you get in touch with these things. I mean, that just tells us, for most of us, you know, how far we are up on our ivory tower. We are not in touch with our body at all. We are not in touch with our feelings. I mean, we constantly think.
So.
I mean, a feeling pops up in the next 20 or 30 minutes we think about it. Or some people, you know, even think the next 3 hours. They don't even notice what a feeling is. And now you slowly get, you know, back down to the ground or back down to the earth and see that there is feelings and experience the feeling. And there's nothing wrong, you know. And that's what we have to learn. I mean, we have to get back down to earth, back down to reality. What is actually happening? And that is the most useful thing. You know, we see Sankara is coming up, okay, Sankara. We see Sanya is coming up, see Sanya. We see feeling coming up, and then we see the feeling arising, and we see it ceasing. Okay, that makes us understand, you know, anicca. Impermanence, everything is impermanent. Everything that we experience is impermanent. I mean, no matter how pleasant it is or how unpleasant it is, it just arises and ceases, and arises and ceases. Okay, go on. I mean, you might have to do that for years. Until the chitta really comes down.